Hi, I'm Koshin Chris Kane, abbot of the Puget Sound Zen Center on Vashon Island, Washington. We're glad to be able to bring you these podcasts. If you'd like to learn more about our Zen Center, please visit our website at pscc.org. This is an interesting one. Bernetta, why don't you start?
When the layman was in his final days, he called Ling Chao to him and said, "Go look at the sun and tell me when it's exactly noon."
Ling Chao went to the door and looked out, saying, "The sun has reached the zenith and there's an eclipse."
Ling Chao seated herself in her father's chair and, putting her palms together reverently, passed away. The layman smiled and said, "My daughter has gone ahead of me once more."
After a week had gone by, Governor Yeo came to inquire about layman's illness. The layman recited a verse.
Our hollow desires comprise what is something form. The awareness that has no substance comprises what is nothing, emptiness, a good day in the world, but a side effect.
After reciting the verse, the layman laid his head in the governor's lap and passed away. His final request was that he be cremated and his ashes scattered over rivers and lakes. Monks and lay people mourned him and said that the Zen adherent layman Pang was indeed a Vimalakirti.
Vimalakirti. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, today's our last day with the Pang family. Quite a family they are. Really dedicated and accomplished lay people. Women, I got it, I think, yeah. Women and a man. You remember Layman Pang first studied with Shi Tu, and then spent 2 years with Matsu. They were kind of opposite Zen masters. There he gained a deep understanding through studying with them. And he could have stayed and become a monk, the record says. But he didn't. Maybe he didn't like the monks. You know, he stayed with them, lived in the monastery. Or maybe he just wanted more freedom to roam around. Or maybe he couldn't bear to not be with his family that he loved. Doesn't say. But he wore white clothes. White was the color for lay people back in the day, and black, as today, is the color for monks. But he shaved his head, which was unusual for a lay person to do. In the day one reading, Shi Tu asks him what he's been doing, and he says, "Well, not much. I've been in harmony with the activities of the day and exercising his marvelous superpower of drawing water and carrying wood." Well, the next thing that Shi Tu asks him in the record is, after he says that and, you know, the iron boat will float, he says, "So, are you going to wear white or black?" Shi Tu asks him. And the layman says, I'll do whatever's best. So for him, maybe lay life was best. It worked for him. I guess that, you know, some would have seen family life and attachments as a hindrance to practice. There's a long history of seeing it that way. But his choice inspired lay people for on through the ages, for generations and hundreds of years. He was a lay person who was as accomplished as the masters, the Zen masters of the day. Layman Pang, he loved mixing it up with monks and masters and interacting with them. He debated with them just like he did with his daughter when she was young. So I thought I'd give you a little flavor of those. I'll read a couple of them from the record. Give you a sense for, deeper sense for Layman Pang. I'm reading some of the less obscure ones. Some of them are really tricky to figure out. This one's called The Headscarf. So one day, layman came while Tan Si was in meditation. The layman stood in front of Tan Si and clasped his hand to his chest in greeting. But Tan Si didn't look up. After a few minutes, the layman moved away and took a seat. Tan Si then got up and stood in front of the layman with his hands clasped to his chest. And after a few minutes, he turned to go into his room. The layman said, I come in and you go out. What's the matter? Tan Si said, when this old man comes, he comes. When he goes, he goes. There's really nothing to it. The layman said, don't you have one iota of compassion? Tan Si said, the Chinaman just goes along to wherever he's led. The layman said, when you're being led along, what takes hold of you? Tan Si then pulled off the layman's headscarf and said, oh, you look just like an old master to me. He's got a bald head, remember. The layman grabbed his headscarf back and put it on Tan Si's head, saying, oh, you look just like a young laborer to me. Tan Si said, yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir. The layman said, so there's still a little of that old-time spirit left after all. Tan Si took the layman's headscarf off of his head and said, what a filthy old rag it is. The layman said, yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir. Tan Si said, the attempt to maintain the old-time spirit has long been forgotten. The layman snapped his fingers three times and said, heaven and earth have changed places. Heaven and earth have changed places. You can see in this, even if all the details don't exactly make sense, you can feel the playful spirit that Layman Pang has, you know, that he's playing around with this guy with the headscarf, changing places with him, you know, exchanging, and the Zen master is happy to switch places with him and play along. That light spirit is something to be cultivated, I think, in Zen, and something that should be a result, really, of this heavy practice. That iron boat should learn to float. I remember a Japanese teacher, professor, talking about the samadhi of play. That's one of the old-time, you know, categories, the samadhi of play, Maybe it was even the samadhi of joy and play. That's like the highest samadhi. And he drew on the board some fish jumping out of the water. That was his idea of the samadhi of play. That is also part of our practice, to learn that kind of meet something and, joy in meeting things, meeting the new thing, and meet it lightly and playfully. So, that's one of the stories I wanted to read you. Here's the next one. Okay, so one day, Pai Ling asked the layman, both speaking about it and not speaking about it are unavoidable. So can you tell me simply, how do you not avoid speaking about it? Okay. Which is to say, I think, how do you speak about it? It's a double negative there. The layman winked at him. Pai Ling said, nothing could be more sublime than that. The layman said, oh, so the teacher is someone who gives false compliments, is he? Pai Ling said, who doesn't? Who doesn't? The layman bowed and left. So that's sublime, that wink. But then layman doesn't leave it at that, you know. He says, false compliments. My guess is he didn't mean that. He probably thought the wink was pretty good. But my guess is he was pointing at the fact that, this one's titled Speaking and Not Speaking, the fact that every compliment is somehow a false compliment. Just like every criticism is somehow a false criticism. It's in the world, it's in the world. There's nothing wrong with compliments, don't get me wrong. But it's in the world of speaking. It's in the world of duality. Okay, next one. Here we go. When the layman was lying down on the meditation platform, reading the sutras, a monk saw him and said, doesn't the layman know that he should maintain proper posture when reading the sutras? The layman propped up one leg. The monk said nothing. Pain is irreverent, you know. Maybe it's monks like this that he wanted to avoid by not becoming a monk. Yeah. Don't be uptight all the time. You know, stuck in the form of Zen. Pang clearly cared about understanding the sutras and living them, but not so much the trappings. I would say, like his wife, cared about giving, not so much the trappings around giving. And when it comes to form, I think we have to learn to do both. We have to learn to have good posture and not good posture. And not be attached to good posture all the time. So to be learn to be proper and formal, and learn also to be relaxed and loose. Okay, last one. Okay. One day the layman arrived when Si Chuan was meditating in his room. He really met a lot of different people. The layman arrived when Si Chuan was meditating in his room. The layman said, if you simply stay in your room absorbed in meditation, how can you know when a monk has come to see you? Because he's just sitting there. This is a little echo of the last one. Si Chuan uncrossed one leg. The layman turned to leave, but after taking a few steps, he turned back. Si Chuan then recrossed his leg. The layman said, do you call this freely being yourself? Si Chuan said, I'm being the host. The layman said, the elder teacher only knows how to be the host. He doesn't know how to be the guest. Si Chuan then called to his attendant to bring some tea, and the layman did a little dance and left. So here, Layman Pang is a little bit like the last one. He's criticizing the teacher, I think, for getting stuck in emptiness, for getting stuck in meditation, and in stuck in no self, just like this petrified monk. And he says, you call this being freely being yourself? 50 years later, Rinzai, who really, I always thought Rinzai was fresh and new, but he takes some stuff from Layman Pang, for sure. I've been struck by some of the parallels. Anyway, 50 years later, Rinzai says, students today can't get anywhere. What ails you? Lack of faith in yourself is what ails you. If you lack faith in yourself, you'll keep tumbling along, bewilderedly following all kinds of circumstances through transformation after transformation, and never be yourself. Rinzai says you have to learn to be yourself. And Rinzai also talks a lot about freely coming and going. So he says, Layman Pang says, you call this freely being yourself? This ain't freedom. This is a prison you're stuck in. And again, you know, Layman Pang, that's freedom. Able to be inside the paradigm and also outside. The host and guest, the host is the teacher, and the guest is the student coming in. And Layman Pang says, you can't switch. You can't switch around. You're stuck being the teacher. And in this practice, it really is important to learn both to lead and to follow. We do that, you know, by taking these roles, by switching the roles. Leaders like me have to also learn how to follow. But he says, this guy, he can't dance. Okay, well, that's Layman Pang, some stories from Layman Pang. Take a look at the record someday. Let's take a look at the text. So this is how it ends for Layman Pang. And you can see, you know, obvious in this scene is the closeness between father and daughter. And her respect for him and his respect for her. It's an interesting one, of course. I mean, it's a little bit sad, of course, for her to die like this. A little disconcerting. Of course, it may not have happened just like this. But here he was going to die at noon. You know, there was this tradition of being able to choose your time if you're accomplished, of when you're going to die. But right at that time, there's an eclipse. The moon got in the way of his plans. The moon, if you ask me, his daughter, you know, eclipsing the sun. And so she took the lead. And he says, ah, again, she bested, she got there first. A great compliment to her. Very sweet, very sweet. So then let's take a look at the verse that he waits a week, and then he really does die. And his verse, which I'm quite fond of, our hollow desires comprise what is something. So he's saying our human desire is makes something. It creates form. It creates the world. In the class that we just finished, we learned that the Buddha called that world the fabricated world. That's the fabricated world. Made up of our thoughts and our desires, generated by them. What we call, you know, the floor or trees, or a table or a friend or a problem or a big problem. That's the fabricated world. These names for things that are less substantial and more fluid than we usually think. And then he says, the awareness that has no substance comprises what is nothing, which is to say emptiness. The awareness that has no substance. That awareness, our awareness of no substance, our own awareness, of that's emptiness. Red Pine says, emptiness just means emptiness of self. Emptiness of tree-ness. It doesn't have any essential tree-ness. It's made up of all kinds of other things. We call it a tree. And our awareness of that world of no substance allows us to see the world differently. And Layman Pang's awareness of that allowed him to see the world differently and react differently and do his little dance. And when we empty ourselves, then we can see things differently for a time. The world changes. Pang, in these two couplets, points to the two sides of existence, the relative and the absolute, that are talked about throughout Buddhism, form and emptiness, the fabricated and the unfabricated, the self and the no-self, life and death. And he says, a good day is but a side effect of that dance between life and death. I really like this line. These two sides of existence are always doing their thing. And our days are just a side effect of that interplay. There's an old Zen phrase, I wonder if any of you know it. It's very simple. Every day is a good day. That's an old Zen phrase. It sounds like some drivel that you would see on TV or something. But
Hallmark card.
What's that?
Hallmark card.
Yeah, Hallmark card, exactly. But that's an old Zen phrase from the Zen Grove, Book of the Zen Grove. Every day is a good day. Every day is just fine. Even a bad day, even a terrible day is a good day. From the perspective of emptiness, from the perspective of Buddha nature, things are just fine. There's no problem in Buddha's world, you know, whether a lost job or a broken relationship or anxiety. Still the snow falls. You remember that koan? Everything falls in the same place. Still the birds sing. And a good day for me is when I can feel both sides of that side effect, both effects of that side effect. Or both causes, excuse me, both causes of that. When I can feel both of those activities, and when I can know them intuitively, and then I know somewhere that every day is a good day. It says right at the end, Vimalakirti was buried, and what happened at the very end there? His ashes were scattered. And it says he was a Vimalakirti. And like Vimalakirti, a lay person, he was a lay person and he was a serious practitioner. Unlike Vimalakirti, he was a pauper. I have to admit, I like Layman Pang a little bit better than Vimalakirti, if I were to choose. I'd like to hang out with him, I think. I like his vagabond style. And now we're in the age of Layman Pang and Laywoman Pang and Ling Chao. I'm looking at them. I hope you continue to follow the urge to practice like Layman Pang did, whether or not you scuttle your boat. Or maybe you should scuttle your boat. You know, every day scuttle your boat. And I hope you find many times Layman Pang's difficult. And plenty also of Mrs. Pang's easy. And a growing amount of experience with Lin Chao's beyond difficult and easy. We do have a superpower, all of us, this tradition tells us. That superpower is to be in harmony with our everyday activities. Chopping wood and carrying water and walking to work and vacuuming our living room and washing the dishes. And we may not always feel that power, but it's always there. All we have to do is set aside our affairs, and it's there. Yeah. Well, by continuing to practice, I think we can understand this, feel this more fully. We can understand ourselves and we can understand others more fully. And I think we can learn to be more truly generous, to lie down in a ditch with people and give them a hand in obvious and deeper ways. So let's keep at it.
This podcast has been brought to you by the Puget Sound Zen Center. Thanks so much for listening. To learn more about our community, you can visit our website at pszc.org.